Good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's telephone town hall hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk about the I-70 Mountain Corridor with Tony DeVito, CDOT Region 1 Transportation Director, Tim Mock, Clear Creek County Commissioner, Andy Schmidt, CDOT I-70 Mountain Corridor Project Manager, Matt Hogan, Construction Manager, and Emily Wilfong, CDOT Communications Manager. We have called residents along the I-70 Mountain Corridor from Golden to Frisco and expect an interesting conversation tonight. We hope you'll stay on the line and participate for the full hour. Let me tell you a little bit about how tonight's call will work. We want this to be very interactive, so if you'd like to ask our panel a question, please press *3 on your telephone keypad, and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information. Once the operator notes your information, you'll be returned to the call and can listen to the conversation until it's your turn. So again, press *3 on your keypad to ask a question. We're going to divide tonight's call into three sections. The first 15 minutes or so, our panel will provide an overview of and take questions about the I-70 Mountain Corridor and winter operations. So first 15 minutes will be about the corridor in general and winter operations. At about 7:20, we will discuss and take questions about the Twin Tunnel project. And finally, at about 7:35 or so, we will update you and take questions on the peak period shoulder lane project. So we've got lots of good information ahead, and we'll kind of take questions based on category. Since our panel wants to hear from as many of you as possible, we'll ask you to limit yourself to one question and be patient and wait until the relevant segment. When it's your turn, I'll call your name and ask you to repeat your question for our live audience. We'll also be asking some survey questions later during the call, and I'll explain that process to you in a few minutes. So once again, press *3 to ask a question of our panel. Now let's turn the call over to Tony DeVito. Tony's Region 1 Transportation Director. And Tony, would you introduce yourself and please get us started.
Thank you, Roger. I'm Tony DeVito, Region 1 Transportation Director. I've been with CDOT now 23 years, most of my career on the I-70 Mountain Corridor, and I've been the Region Director for the last 6 years. It is a pleasure to be here tonight to discuss the I-70 Mountain Corridor. In 2012, we had our first telephone town hall, and gosh, we've made some great progress since. The eastbound Twin Tunnel widening is complete. It actually was operational last winter, and we got to see the benefits of having a wider Twin Tunnel. Westbound Twin Tunnel widening is near completion, and the eastbound peak period shoulder lane project is underway. These projects represent the first major I-70 investments in this area in over 40 years, totaling nearly $230 million. These are significant first steps to ease congestion, but we know there's more work to be done. This is why, in addition to these improvements, the department has placed such strong emphasis on improving the operations management of the corridor to make sure we are doing our best to get the most mobility out of the current system. Before we update you on the construction of the Twin Tunnels and peak period shoulder lane projects, I want to take a moment to talk a bit more about corridor operations management. Since late spring, CDOT, in coordination with corridor stakeholders, we've been developing a 2015 winter operations plan. This season, CDOT will be dedicating nearly $8 million to enhance corridor operations. A few examples of this plan include, first and foremost, let's be sure we're ensuring that real-time information is available to the general public so that those critical decisions on corridor travel can be made. Secondly, we'll be working with the Colorado State Patrol to improve timing to implement commercial vehicle chain laws through new technology and enforcement. We're going to be working with the commercial vehicle industry to voluntarily reduce the amount of truck trips during the peak period hours. We're implementing the use of these snowplow escorts corridor-wide to reduce winter-related crashes and spinouts. We're metering on-ramps to eastbound I-70 at Silverthorne, Frisco, and Copper Mountain during those peak hours and during snow events to reduce traffic volume. And we're increasing our maintenance staff and equipment availability for snow plowing. And last but not least, we're reaching out with driver education initiatives. I have to say that we are very proud of what we've been able to accomplish in the last couple of years and would not be here without the critical partnerships of the Federal Highway Administration, the City of Idaho Springs, and Clear Creek County.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Again, if you have a question about winter operations or the I-70 corridor in general, please press star 3. You can also get in line now for our other topics. Those are the twin tunnels and the shoulder lane, peak period shoulder lane project. So please press star 3. We've got several hundred of you online, and we'd like to get to your questions as quickly as we possibly can. Next, I'd like to call on Commissioner Tim Mock. Commissioner, please introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the collaboration occurring during all these projects.
Thanks, Roger. Tim Mock, Clear Creek County Commissioner. I've served in this position in the last 4 years and currently reside in Idaho Springs. In a time when we're facing many challenges in transportation, including how to fund future transportation improvements, it is great to see such progress happening on I-70. I know our residents and the traveling public are experiencing inconvenience during the construction of these projects, and I sincerely thank you for hanging in there with us. While there is short-term pain, the end project will result in long-term gain. These projects will provide safer and more reliable traveling conditions, not only for our mountain community residents, but all users. Additionally, these projects are designed to respect the natural beauty and character of the area. For those of us that are living along and just off of the I-70 corridor, that corridor is our lifeline. And improving access to and from the mountain communities will result in more people willing to come, visit, and stay, helping our businesses and mountain communities thrive. Speaking on behalf of Clear Creek County, we are pleased with the partnerships we have formed with CDOT and look forward to continuing that collaboration as we work towards finding solutions for Floyd Hill and implementation of other projects in the coming years.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Again, please remember to press star 3 if you have a question on any of our topics tonight, operations and general I-70 mountain corridor questions, twin tunnel project questions, or the peak period shoulder lane project. Please press star 3. We'll get you in line, and we're going to start taking questions now. So let's do that. Let's take our first question regarding the I-70 mountain corridor and just general operations. First up is Crystal. Go ahead, Crystal.
Hi there. For the Exit 240 ramp project, I run transportation for Loveland Ski Area, and we pick up our employees right there at Exit 240. Is that parking lot that's right there on westbound ramp going to be affected at all, or is that going to be operational?
Commissioner, you want to take that, or Tony?
Yeah, thanks, Crystal. I think with the for this first phase of the exit ramp 240 bridge, the exit ramps themselves will still be operational. So I don't anticipate that there will be any impediments to the bus stop, and that'll continue to work for Loveland as we go on. We will make note of that, and if something somehow changes here, I'll be sure to get in touch with you or someone at Loveland. But I think we're going to be fine.
All right, very good. Let's go to Norma next. Norma, what's your question this evening?
Oh, my question again is about the roundabout down at the east end of town. And I'm wondering, is it going to be more functional than the one over at Bergen Park? Over around over there today, and it looks like more people are driving on it than around it because it's so narrow. Is that going to happen here?
All right, thank you. Tony?
So we are finalizing the design on the roundabout, and I hear the concerns on roundabouts a lot, and we want to be sure that as we are building these, like the one that we built in Georgetown, we take time to look at the turning templates. Like the one in Georgetown, we met with the fire department, and we went through the turning templates on the fire trucks that they use. We do this typically to be sure that the roundabouts that we built will accommodate all commercial vehicles, the buses, fire response vehicles, and most importantly, our general public that are coming through these roundabouts. Provide a lot of safety. Roundabouts reduce completely that elimination of the T-bone accident. What we see more frequently in roundabouts are the less severity sideswipe or rear-end accidents.
All right, good questions. Again, if you'd like to ask our panel a question about any of our topics tonight, just press star 3. We've got screeners standing by to take down your information, and we'll get you in line right away. We're going to go to Mark next. Mark, go ahead.
CDOT has been promoting the 1/8-inch tread depth as a suggestion for mountain corridor driving. That is an inadequate tread depth. And why do you not implement the actual chain law, not just commercial vehicles, but implement the real chain law on I-70 when it's bad weather, and that would allow snowflake mountain tires at that time, I believe.
Tony, go ahead.
So, Mark, that's a great question and a great comment, and I'll definitely be sure we take it back to the team. You know, what we've really been more concerned about is, you know, we want to be sure that people are taking the time to go ahead and look at their vehicle and be sure that the vehicle is prepped for the winter snow season. Given that some of the times we're up there, we're seeing a lot less tread than that. We had a kind of start set us, you know, met with the tire industry, and we said typically at what point the tires need to be replaced. We'll definitely take a look at the enforcement and everything else that would be needed if we were to look at different classifications of chain laws.
All right, let's go next to Tom. Tom, you're looking ahead, it looks like. What's your question tonight?
I just wondered what the other long-term plans for the corridor besides the items outlined tonight are in the future to further resolve problems on the corridor.
So, Tom, it's Tony DeVito again. Great question. You know, we definitely have to attack the bottlenecks on the corridor. We are also looking at everything from an operational improvement, as I mentioned in my opening comments. Long term on the project, we know that you know, we want to take a look at how we can address now the westbound. We'll have we've got some good models that have been presented and calculated on what the travel time savings will be in the eastbound direction, utilizing the peak period shoulder lanes. Definitely would like to look at how these operate, and we are starting to look at how we can start addressing the westbound. That was one of the initiatives of doing the westbound tunnel now. In addition that we had the expertise, we had a lot of the equipment and specialty equipment mobilized, but we also know that it provides a bottleneck in the westbound direction, and once we're able to open up the westbound tunnel, it gives us the opportunity now to look. And we definitely are, we know the bottom of Floyd Hill, we have a narrow two-lane bridge that has seen its useful life. It's about the same age as the viaduct downtown, and we've done the amount of structural repairs that we can to it. So that is in our focus in the next 5 years to start addressing how we tackle the bottom of Floyd Hill.
All right, good questions. Again, press star 3 on your keypad to be transferred to an operator. We'll get you in line. If you're holding with questions about the twin tunnels or the shoulder lane project, we'll get to you, so don't hang up. We're going to get to you. Just hang on and listen to the call. Let's go next to Mike. Mike, go ahead.
I'm curious, as you do the 240 exit work, are you going to do any type of coordination with all the work that's going from 240 westbound? Because those of us that live on Chicago Creek obviously are going to have to drive all the way up at least to Fall River to turn around to come back down to get back on Chicago Creek. Are you planning on doing any coordination there to try to mitigate some of that those delays?
All right, Mike, good question. Tony? Or,
Hi, this is Andy Schmidt. I'm the CDOT project manager for the peak period shoulder lane project. So we have a designated detour route with signage and more details that you can go to our website at i70ppsl.com. In addition, that designated detour route will help, and we will definitely be coordinating with the other projects to minimize the delay and the time that it takes to use that detour at 103.
So, again, that website, folks, if you want to make sure you have a pen and paper with you, we'll be talking about a lot of different websites and phone numbers. later in the call. The website that was just mentioned is www.i70ppsl.com. I assume the PPSL stands for Peak Period Shoulder Lane. We're clever here at CDOT. Let's go next to, I'm going to go to Michelle. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi. My question is it possible to eliminate or to reduce the commercial trucks during the peak ski traffic?
No. Anytime we're talking about the commercial truck industry, we've got to be cognitive of interstate commerce laws. And we are working, we're working with them to voluntarily reduce their presence during peak periods. They don't want to be out there caught in traffic anyways. We work with communities on the delivery times, but these are communities that do need their supplies and food and fuel and everything else on the corridor. So we continue to coordinate. We definitely, for the safety of the traveling public, if there are severe weather incidences, we will be utilizing some of the truck holding locations on the corridor and be coordinating through that process.
Okay. Next up is Tina. Tina, go ahead with your question.
I was just wondering if there's any plans for making a sound barrier between I-70 and Idaho Springs.
Good question, Tina. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Andy Schmidt again. We looked into the noise analysis during the Tier 2 NEPA process of the Peak Period Shoulder Lane project. And because this is an interim project, the decision was made not to go into a full-depth noise analysis study. However, we did look at doing some extra tall barrier in the Lawson area and some other mitigations near State Highway 103 to try and reduce the decibel of noise. So we are looking into it, but at this time, because of the interim nature of the project, we aren't putting up any sound barriers at Idaho Springs.
All right. Thank you. For those of you who joined us late, good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's Telephone Town Hall, hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk with CDOT about the I-70 Mountain Corridor. You're hearing from all of our panelists already. You can participate in the discussion by pressing *3 on your keypad. You'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information and get you in the queue. So again, that's *3 on your keypad to ask a question. And if you're holding with a question for any of our other topics, just hang on. We're going to get to you, I promise. Also, if you can't stay the whole hour, and we certainly hope that you will, but if you can't stay the whole hour and want to leave a comment, you can press *9. So *3 to ask a question live and *9 to leave a voice message. Why don't we go next to Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Good evening, everybody. My question is pertaining to the fact that every time I go by the construction that's going on today, that there appears to be very few people working on the project, and I was wondering if there's any thought about going to a 24/7 schedule to expedite and complete this and get out everybody's hair.
All right. Anyone on the panel? It's expensive to go 24/7, correct?
It is. In addition, we have a CDOT has a region lane closure strategy that all projects have to adhere to. So it regulates when we can close a lane throughout the corridor. So that really limits us and prevents us from going to a 24-hour-a-day type schedule. In addition, it's very weather-dependent, too. A lot of asphalt paving can't happen at night just due to temperatures and things like that.
All right. Great discussion so far. Again, if you'd like to ask our panel a question, press *3. This might be a good time to call on Matt Hogan. Matt's construction manager for the Twin Tunnels project. And Matt, would you talk a little bit more about construction details and kind of cover some traffic impacts, please?
Absolutely, Roger. Again, this is Matt Hogan, project manager for the Kramer-Obayashi joint venture, the general contractor at the Twin Tunnels. Most of you have likely seen the firsthand work we are doing at the westbound tunnel in Idaho Springs. and I'm happy to report that we are on schedule to moving westbound I-70 traffic and eastbound I-70 traffic back into their respective tunnels before Christmas. After more than 6 months of blasting work to widen the tunnel and remove the rock from the rock faces each side of the tunnel, we are scheduled to do our last production blast next week on the rock face just east of the tunnel. I understand there will be some minor ones in the following weeks to put some pipe work in, but production blasting is coming to an end. Since April, we have widened the inside of the tunnel and moved the rock cuts away from the highway to make it safer to drive I-70. With the blasting work coming to an end, the Twin Tunnels project will have minimal impact on I-70 the rest of the year. We will continue working inside the tunnel bore where we are nearly finished pouring the new concrete lining for the wider tunnel, but all this work will be done with no effect on I-70 traffic. With that said, in December, there will be short-term lane closures while we move traffic back into its respective tunnels. This will involve moving westbound traffic in the new tunnel and eastbound traffic off the detour and back onto its regular path through the eastbound tunnel that was constructed last year. After the first of the year, we'll have some minor lane closures to do some finishing work in the median and on the shoulders, but really minimal impacts during the ski season. And then the work moving into next year will really be restoring Clear Creek County back to its luster. We'll be restoring County Road 314, making trailhead improvements, and doing final landscaping work on the south side of I-70. This work will involve some lane closures on County Road 314, but we'll maintain access to businesses at all times, as well as bicycle access through County Road 314. We thank everybody's cooperation over the last several years while we've been up there working, and hope you enjoy the tunnels come Christmas.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Again, if you have a question about the Twin Tunnels project or want to get in line for our shoulder lane discussion, press *3 now. Before we take our question, our next question, let's ask our first survey question. So here's how it works. To participate in our survey question, you use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. The first question is, what aspect of the westbound Twin Tunnels project are you most looking forward to? Press 1 for a wider, brighter tunnel entrance. Press 2 for the trailhead improvements coming in 2015. Press 3 for the restoration of County Road 314. And press 4 for a wider tunnel that makes it possible to eventually expand the I-70 corridor. Please record your vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we'll take our first question on this topic. And again, don't forget to press *3 if you would like to participate. And we're going to go to, we lost our first question, so let's just go on to Judy. Judy, go ahead. Hi, Judy, you're on live.
Okay, with the expansion of that full lane eastbound on 70, how do you keep people in it or out of it?
Great question.
Yes, it is, Judy. This is Tony DeVito. We're kind of shifting the paradigm in this stretch of the highway from Empire to Idaho Springs. The breakdown lane will no longer be on the right, but will be on the left. And that will be the majority of the time, 5 days a week. Then during the peak periods, with the use of overhead signage, probably a variable message sign of some sort that would go from a red X to a green ball, it will identify that those lanes are now operational. Our maintenance forces and our use of the cameras will be sure that those lanes are prepped, that shoulder lane is prepped. And, basically then we will utilize current tolling equipment and license plate readers and a variable tolling system to regulate the traffic that's in and out of there. So a little bit of what I call the three E's, engineering, education, and enforcement. That's what gets the message across to the traveling public. And so, with a lot of education outreach and then also with the enforcement of those that are trying to violate the use of those lanes, especially in non-peak times, will be the complement to keep those working.
Thank you, Tony. Here are the results of our first survey question. Again, the question was, what aspect of the westbound Twin Tunnel project are you most looking forward to? Fairly large majority, 78% of you said wider tunnel that makes it possible to expand I-70 corridor. Second was 12% who said wider, brighter tunnel entrances. Thank you very much for participating. We'll have another question later in the call. And let's take our next Twin Tunnel question from Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. Go right ahead with your question.
Hey, I chatted with a number of the drillers and blasters over there on the westbound task, and I was just wondering about, since they're behind, most of the drillers have told me they're behind for a few weeks, and that the state is kind of taking over the responsibility of some of the blasting endeavors. And my question is the safety of the general public and some of the people involved in the blasting being compromised with the people in the state dictating what's going on with the blasting?
Pete, this is Matt Hogan, the construction manager of the Twin Tunnels project. And the short answer is no, absolutely not. The safety is not being compromised in any way on the project. We take great efforts to ensure that everybody on that project is safe. We work diligently to ensure that. And trust me, we are very much in control of that work as the general contractor and our subcontractors that's performing that work. We appreciate CDOT's cooperation on the project as always, but we are nearing completion and doing the safest manner possible.
All right, great. Let's go to Sally next. Sally, what's your question?
Earlier this year, we found going to Denver eastbound that the access road on the side had been dug up, and it wasn't available, and it caused a lot of people here in Summit County a lot of long delays. In the future, is that road going to be open so that it will be another way to get around the tunnel if necessary?
It's an excellent question. Part of the Twin Tunnels project is to restore County Road 314. So once we move traffic back into the respective tunnels, we will be making that bypass road of County Road 314 back to its an improved condition, really, from where it was before the construction, to allow that for emergency access and local commuters that know the ways around to bypass some of the traffic that does occur on I-70.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Landon next. Landon, go ahead. Landon, are you there? All right, let's go next to Lisa. Lisa, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering, with this expansion of the tunnel, is this getting to eventually get some type of public transportation or rail up to the mountain so the people who actually live in Summit County and go back and forth to Denver can use their cars back and forth, but for the public who's just coming up to ski for the day can use public transportation and then subsequently use buses going from a parking area and using the transportation centers to the ski area?
So right now, and Lisa, it's a good question. The tunnel widening is just for the highway infrastructure. Whether or not we down the road incorporate bus rapid transit or other types of bus transit programs, that's yet to be determined. I mean, we definitely have a corridor where we're seeing a lot of carpooling, 3+ on average. We have a lot of the resorts that do utilize van shuttles. And in addition to that, you know, the department did undertake looking at a rail study, and we took a hard look at what we call the advanced guideway systems, and we actually did a lot of research with industry. And the good news coming out of that study was that we found that there is technology out there that would traverse the grade. However, the cost associated with that, and then also being a corridor that really sees its peaks just on the weekend, the viability of it from a financial model probably for the state of Colorado will not be the first high-speed transit corridor. We'd probably look statewide to look at more of a north-south connection, and then later on, if it is deemed financially feasible, we'd look east-west.
All right, thank you. Andy, before we take more calls, would you introduce yourself and provide some information about the Peak Period Shoulder Lane project? Go ahead.
Thank you, Roger, and good evening, everyone.
My name's Andy Schmidt, and I'm the CDOT project manager for the I-70 Mountain Corridor. And tonight I will be talking a bit about another active project in the corridor that's just west of Twin Tunnels, the Peak Period Shoulder Lane. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with the project or just need a quick recap, I'd like to start by bringing everyone up to speed on the purpose of the project as well as the progress we've made since it kicked off last July. The most common question we get is, what exactly is a Peak Period Shoulder Lane? And the eastbound I-70 Peak Period Shoulder Lane, or PPSL, as you've probably heard it called, is part of CDOT's comprehensive plan to improve travel in the I-70 Mountain Corridor. When it's in use, the upgraded shoulder will function as an optional tolled express lane during peak driving periods. During non-peak times, the lane will not be used, and it'll just function as an extra large shoulder. This will be done by strengthening the shoulder in CDOT's existing right-of-way from Empire Junction to Idaho Springs, and we'll be converting it into a third tolled travel lane. So the existing two lanes will remain general purpose at all times to the traveling public. Upon completion in the fall of 2015, it's estimated that PPSL will save all travelers' time, with those in the peak period shoulder lane an average of 30 minutes. So far during construction, it has been mostly active at the west end of the project area near Empire Junction, and it's gradually working east towards Idaho Springs. Earlier this month, construction activities moved from nighttime to daytime hours to allow for longer work hours before the winter arrives. Other project enhancements include reconstruction of the State Highway 103 bridge over I-70 at exit 240, the reconfiguration of the interchange at exit 241, and landscape and architectural improvements to historic Charlie Taylor Waterwheel Park in downtown Idaho Springs.
Okay, thank you.
What is the expected timing of those other improvements you mentioned, Annie?
Good question, Roger. Many of you have probably already seen construction crews on I-70 starting prep work under the State Highway 103 bridge, as well as signs in the area announcing the bridge closure starting next week. Weather depending, the new bridge is expected to reopen in 6 weeks, with special considerations being made during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we're expecting construction to be complete before the Christmas holiday. During construction, all on and off ramps will remain open to provide east and westbound I-70 access. Those looking to access the downtown Idaho Springs Business District on the north side of I-70 and residential properties on the south side of I-70 will be asked to follow detours in place while the bridge is closed. The traveling public on east and westbound I-70 will have plenty of business access notice from strategically placed detour signs to exit either west of Idaho Springs at exit 239 or east of Idaho Springs at exit 241. And construction work on State Highway 103 and on and off ramps is anticipated to begin probably in the spring of 2015. Work on exit 241 will start after the State Highway 103 work is complete. Once specific construction dates are known, our project team will continue to provide schedule updates for the community.
All right. Thank you, Andy. That's a lot of good information, exciting things happening on the corridor for sure. If you'd like to ask a question about Peak Period Shoulder Lane Project, that's a mouthful, press star 3, and we will get you on the call live. Let's start with Dave first. Dave, go ahead.
Given you just talked about that the toll lane was going to save 30 minutes, and we've been through all this construction, so how much time are we going to really save in the non-tolled lanes that the rest of us who live up here are going to have to drive every day?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, we did a feasibility study last year and tried to model the time savings, and we were able to quantify the time savings in the managed toll lane, and it varied between, you know, a few minutes up to 60 minutes at one point. And
okay, but I was asking about the non-tolled lanes.
Yeah, and so we weren't able to quantify the toll the savings in the GP lanes, but the modeling did show an improvement in the general purpose lanes as well.
More capacity, better speeds for everyone.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we, before we take another call, let's take a minute to hear how people on the phone would like to be kept up to date as new project information becomes available. Again, to register your response, just press the corresponding key on your telephone keypad. Here's our second survey question. How would you like to learn about project updates? Press 1 for email, press 2 for project website, press 3 for project hotline, and press 4 for telephone town hall meetings like the one we are doing right now. Please record your vote, and I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we'll take another question. And again, it sounds like a broken record. Press star 3, and we'll get you in line for a question. We're going to go to Judy next. Judy, go ahead.
Hi. I've commuted between Evergreen and Dumont for the last year and a half, and the construction on eastbound 70 between Empire and Idaho Springs I find extremely scary. You've taken all the shoulders away. What happens when someone breaks down or slides out in the winter and has an accident? Where do you go?
Judy, that's a good question. You know, and unfortunately, it's one of the impacts of mountain construction, especially in a corridor where we're really trying to utilize as much of the existing highway as possible. I know all our construction projects talk about emergency response, and we coordinate very closely with not only the city but the county emergency responders. All of our traffic control is identified during the project hours with radios, and they would communicate if there was an incident during those working hours to expedite getting emergency officials to that incident.
Yeah, and just to add to what Tony said, during peak period times, we worked during this design process, we worked extensively with Clear Creek County EMS, and we have implemented the active traffic management system, including 100% camera coverage on the corridor. So if there is a accident on the interstate during peak times, we can close the toll lane to the general, to the people who are paying for it, so that emergency vehicles can get through to the accident.
All right, thank you. Here are the results of our second survey question. Again, the question was, how would people on the call tonight prefer to learn about project updates? 43% of you said telephone town hall meetings. I guess that's why you're listening in. That's terrific. Second was email, 40%, and 14% said project website. We really appreciate that input. Our public information team is taking notes, and we appreciate that input. Let's go to our next question from Jack. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, this question is really for Tim Mock, Commissioner Mock. Tim, as they do the eastbound, I think it was generally agreed upon that any expansion would be for the eastbound would be to the south. And as you know, the pinch point for this expansion is going to be around the Water Wheel Park in Idaho Springs. And so you're my commissioner, and I really expect you to stay on top of this, because we don't want to see the eastbound moved to the north, and then when they start to do the westbound, they're going to come in and take our parking lot and encroach into our city. And Tony, it might be worth mentioning to a lot of the listeners that I hear a lot of conversation about ski traffic, but really the last report that I looked at, I think that July or August is the most busiest months, the heaviest traveled on I-70. So, you know, there's a lot more involved than just ski traffic here.
Thank you, Jack. Tim, do you want to start?
Hey, Jack, appreciate your question and you calling in. It's good to hear from you. In regards to what's going on with eastbound and westbound peak period shoulder lanes, you know this is a system essentially, and we're putting in those eastbound lanes first. It's the first phase. It's going to be somewhat experimental, so we'll work out the bugs along the way. But you know, we did sign an MOU to authorize the westbound peak period shoulder lanes, and as funding becomes available, we're going to work to get us that. Also, just want to comment on your point about the encroachment into the parking lot. I don't think that that's going to that portion there was the shift down to the water wheel park. So we will not be going to the north with a westbound peak period shoulder lanes. And again, we shifted down to the water wheel park, and we'll be getting some very nice park improvements down there with this.
And Jack, just to respond back to the volumes, you're most definitely correct. Our summer volumes are higher. For the majority of the summer, we have the longer days, and we have a larger distribution of people and how they plan in their return trip or their getaway up to the mountains. And so a lot of times outside those summer holidays, we will definitely, you know, we'll definitely be utilizing peak period shoulder year lanes year-round. But, you know, when we get into those winter ski months, it seems like when those ski resorts close all about the same amount of time and we get that volume coming down the mountain, we know that we'll definitely see some benefits from implementation of this project.
All right, we have another Jack. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about your peak period lane. I didn't hear any information. I may have been talking to the screener about the potential toll, but more importantly, will you allow recreational trailers in that lane? I have a four-place snowmobile trailer, and will I be able to utilize that lane?
Thank you, Jack. This is Emily Wilfong, CDOT Communications Manager. The toll, we are still determining what the cost of that toll will be. In terms of recreational trailers, we're still figuring out those operational things as well. There will be a fee per axle, so looking into that, and we'll continue to keep you posted as we determine more information about the operations of this lane.
Okay, Julie is next. Julie, thanks for your patience. Go ahead. Did we lose you?
Yes. On the construction with the peak period shoulder, with the Jersey barriers that have been put up, when we have a heavy snowfall this winter, how are you going to manage snow removal since you can't push it off on a shoulder? There is no shoulder anymore.
Julie, that's a great operational question, and I'll tell you, first and foremost, the crews are working the hours that they're working to try to get as much completed so we don't have as many linear feet of barrier out there. That's our goal. You know, Mother Nature can be wicked sometimes and mess up our scheduling, but typically this time of year we can run, you know, for a while here and get some more of this work done. But again, our goal is to get as much of those barriers out of the way as possible. Our plow drivers also know at different speeds they'll be able to get that snow up and over the barrier sections as we get into town through Idaho Springs there. In some places we are barrier on both sides. And so our crews will continue to work and utilize in how we get that snow removed through those construction zones.
Yeah, and just to address the permanent Jersey barrier situations, we worked with our CDOT maintenance crews throughout the design process to discuss this issue. And currently, they don't store snow on the shoulder right now. So with the peak period and implementation, it's not going to be much different from what they do now. You know, and one of the other things, too, is our operational limitations is for peak period is weather dependent. So if we have a huge blizzard and for some reason the snow can't be moved off in time, then we just wouldn't open the peak period shoulder lane.
All right. It looks like we've got several questions about how the tolled lane will work. We were just talking a little bit about that. Why don't we have Emily explain more in depth the functions of the corridor and how those tolls work. Go ahead.
Thank you, Roger. This is Emily Wilfong, CDOT Communications Manager. CDOT has entered a new era of transportation, and this era has been defined by innovation and driven by necessity. During the previous era of transportation, we built roadways primarily for cars and trucks. When they reached capacity, we added more lanes, and then those lanes filled up. Today, in our busiest corridors, we design and build roadways that provide people with transportation choices and operational efficiencies so that transit riders, carpoolers, single-occupant drivers, and even walkers and bicyclists can benefit from the same project. One of the most effective techniques for reducing traffic delays is something called express lanes, which we are implementing on US 36, I-25 North, and I-70 through Metro Denver and now into the mountains. In the case of eastbound I-70 and the mountain corridor, making upgrades within CDOT's existing right-of-way will allow wide shoulders to operate as a third tolled express lane during peak travel periods. The express lane will be dynamically priced to keep traffic moving. For instance, prices will lower when CDOT wants to encourage drivers to use the lane, and then they'll rise as the lane reaches capacity. This new lane will give people the option to pay a toll and save time while traveling. The choice also works to decrease congestion in the general purpose lanes, providing relief for all. Ultimately, CDOT is dedicated to providing mobility and maintaining choice. We are focused on meeting your needs to reduce congestion in this busy corridor, and we sincerely thank you for your patience as we live where you work and play.
All right, let's get back to questions. Again, we've got a few minutes left, so you still have time to press star 3 and get in line. Tia, I think that's how you pronounce
Hello.
It.
Hello. My question would be about the shoulder lane. As a resident of Clear Creek County, is there a program in place to reduce or waive the fee for using the express lane, as there is not another route to get back down to town unless I pay or stick in traffic?
Hi, Tia. At this point, there is no program to waive traffic for county residents.
Yeah, and just to add to that, so there still is an option in the general purpose lanes for locals to use that is free. So the two general purpose lanes will be free, but if a local chooses to use the managed lane, they will be assessed a toll.
And then, hey, Tia, another thing I'd like to point out, and this is Tim Mock, County Commissioner, is that the congestion will be alleviated off of our county roads due to this peak period shoulder lane that is going to be operational primarily, I think, on weekends during high travel times. The rest of the year or the rest of the week, these lanes will be free-flowing traffic, not tolled. But during those peak travel times, the congestion will be alleviated or is expected to be significantly alleviated off of our county roads that will allow us better mobility through our community.
All right, let's go to D next. D, go ahead.
I'm real concerned about them putting the breakdown lane on the left. I'm thinking in terms of if something goes wrong with my car and I'm on Floyd Hill headed west or headed to Idaho Springs, and something goes wrong with it, and I'm driving in the regular traffic lane, now all of a sudden I've got to go across the passing lane and other faster lanes to get to the breakdown site. I want to know statistics on other times this has been tried and how many people got killed during that, because it just seems way counterproductive.
Dee, this is Tony DeVito, and I'll tell you that you're not the first to talk about the concern. And we went into this project very open to looking at either the left or the right-hand side as the express lane. Now, we're talking a pretty flat section here between Empire and Idaho Springs, and we've got numerous interchanges with traffic merging into the interstate. And actually, in our conversations, not only nationally but internationally with other or agencies that have done this, when you utilize the right shoulder for an express lane, you actually induce a lot more dangerous weaving, especially with your heavy trucks that you don't want in your express lane. And so after looking around, and we did a lot of extensive research, and there are some states out east that have shifted in certain areas their breakdown lanes to the left and have reported that it is working. It is a paradigm shift, and people will have to recognize that those breakdown lanes are on the left-hand side, but it is a two-lane interstate system, and so from an engineering and safety assessment, we feel that it's a safe move to get to the left.
Yeah, and just to add to that, we also are implementing emergency pullouts for that reason on the right-hand side. So we did some research for both nationally and internationally and found that by providing an average every 1 mile for an emergency pullout, that is kind of the standard for safety. So by utilizing the existing interchange ramps and then implementing the two emergency pullouts on the right-hand side, we are well within that safety standard.
All right, again, star 3 to get a last couple questions in. We're going to go to Tobin next. Go ahead.
My question was about the westbound tunnel. I know that they made the decision to go ahead and bore through the tunnel, but that won't actually be a working lane for some time, as there's some lane reconfiguration and rock work that needs to be done. What's the time frame for that project, and will it be connected to the bridge at the bottom of Floyd Hill?
Tobin, a great question. We are right now starting that planning process for the Floyd Hill section, the Floyd Hill Bridge. We want to look at that. We want to be sure that we have something ready to roll if funding were to become available. Unfortunately, I can't say I have an identified funding path forward, but definitely want to start working towards looking at a section from top of Floyd Hill, down the Floyd Hill section, across that bridge, which we all know as the Kermit's Bridge, and then connecting into the new tunnel. Again, taking advantage of the mobilization, the expertise, the specialized equipment, we felt was imperative to get the westbound bore widened while we were here, realizing about $7 to $10 million worth of real dollar savings by doing it now and not putting that off. So as soon as we can, we will be capitalizing on that investment.
Okay, Kevin, you're next. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about the left side of the eastbound lanes through the area where the widening is occurring. Initially, they were opened, the lanes were moved, that is, with the old rumble strips still part of the lane, which seemed kind of dangerous and disturbing when trying to drive in the left lane. That appears to have been ground down, and now it's like roto-milled and maybe is even more disturbing. I'm glad I don't drive a motorcycle there, but is that going to be remedied, or is that just going to stay that way while the project is finished?
Yeah, so we definitely heard from the traveling public that the rumble strips were an issue, so we ground them down, as you mentioned, to try to mitigate that. The lanes will be shifted back into the normal configuration once the widening is complete, so it's just a temporary situation right now.
All right, let's go to Jim next. Jim, what's your question?
Well, my question is, since you were talking about snow removal along the main corridor, it's mainly from the Twin Tunnels to Empire Junction or the Port of Entry, has any thought been given to using some type of a rotary machine that would blow the snow off into the creek, into Clear Creek, since it's right next to it in most of the areas?
We're very cautious not to have anything that comes directly from the road into the creek. A lot of times we're utilizing different treatment methods on the roadway, and we work really closely with the Upper Clear Creek Watershed Authority on our snow removal process, and so typically any direct removal into the creek, especially with the blower, would not be one of our processes. But thanks. Good question.
Good question. Vicki, go ahead with your question. Hi, Vicki. You're live with our audience.
I was wondering, down by the Charlie Taylor water wheel, the landscaping has been torn up. I wonder what your plan is for fixing that when this is finished. And what time frame?
Yeah, Vicki, we have a great plan to completely do some improvements at Waterwheel Park, including landscaping, some interpretive signage plans. So the hardscaping, the retaining walls, and things like that will happen a little bit this year. And then the final implementation of the landscaping, the interpretive signage, the aesthetic features that we're going to be redoing in that area, that'll be completed by the project completion next fall.
Sharon, you're next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little different subject. My biggest problem with driving from Denver to Grand Junction on that I-70 has been the traffic congestion with the slower vehicles and them not pulling over to the right, and especially like semi-trucks that know that, you know, they just pull out in front and then you have to slam on your brakes. And so I just didn't know if there's any education that will be put out so that they know not to pull out in front of somebody like that. And also, and I'm guilty of not getting over sometimes, like you're driving in a lane and somebody comes up behind you and I should get over, but sometimes after you've been driving for 2.5 hours, and I appreciate it, like if they flash their lights at me or something, it alerts me. So I don't know if there's any type of education, you know, or signage you could put up to remind people to pull over so that we don't slow down and make the traffic congested.
Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah, and then the toll lanes, I didn't know if that's going to be an issue with slower drivers or not. If I pay for a toll lane and then you get a truck or somebody that's going real slow, I just didn't know about that.
Sure.
Hi, Sharon. This is Emily Wilfong. Just wanted to let you know that in terms of the semi-trucks and their behaviors on the road, we're certainly educating drivers of all vehicles about how best to use this corridor, especially during the winter. So we will be reaching out to folks about that. And there are enforcement areas throughout the corridor on just what you were talking about. And then in terms of the toll lanes, the best way to kind of get an idea of how that's going to work, what it's going to look like, would be good to go to the website at www.i70ppsl.com.
Thank you. Emily, before we run out of time, could you quickly talk about how the public can keep up to date on all of these projects?
Absolutely. So first of all, we hope that this telephone town hall has been a helpful way for you to interact with the project team and to get the answers to your questions. The best way to stay on top of everything is to visit www.cotrip.org, where you can get information on construction activities, monitor weather conditions, and access live traffic speed and travel time maps. CDOT also offers text and email notification services to keep updated. To sign up for these notifications, go to coloradodot.info and click on the green cell phone icon in the upper right-hand corner of the page. We also have a mobile application for the I-70 corridor that you can download to your smartphone. Both projects also produce monthly project newsletters that are distributed through CDOT's email notification service, and each project has an information hotline. For information specific to Twin Tunnels, call 303-327-4034, and for information on the Peak Period Shoulder Lane project, call 303-223-6581. In addition to the website, hotline, and email updates, the project team will continue to collaborate with local community members to determine the best way to distribute the latest project information, such as newsletters, flyers, posters, and press releases.
All right. Thank you very much, Emily. We're sorry if we didn't get to your question tonight, but you can still leave us a comment or question by hanging on at the end of the call. So just stay on the line on behalf of the panel. And on behalf of CDOT, we thank you for participating and wish you a very good evening.